My Life in Christ, Part 2, Book 2, starting page 140. What is false gratitude to God? Gratitude is false when, having received bountiful, undeserved spiritual and material gifts from God, people thank God for them with their tongue and use them only for their own advantage, not sharing with their neighbors. When they obtain them and conceal them in their treasures, chests, libraries, thus depriving many of their brethren of spiritual enlightenment, instruction, and consolation, or of food, drink, clothing, dwelling, or of being cured of their maladies, or of the means of moving from one place to another for the purpose of acquiring means of subsistence. Such gratitude is false and impious. It means thanking God with a tongue, and meanwhile showing extreme ingratitude and ill-natured nature indeed. But how many such grateful, or rather ungrateful, men there are. Our corrupt nature is inclined to speedily forget everything holy and salutary, because our sins and passions continually cloud and darken our heads, occupy them, and dominate in them, trusting our out remembrances, thoughts and feelings about holy events and God's great benefit to us. Therefore, the Holy Church, faithful guardian of her Lord's commandments, of all her teaching and works, eternally grateful for his unspeakable benefits, has instituted a solemn commemorative celebration in the daily as well as in a Sunday and festival services with picturesque, impressive, emblematic rites of all the saving events of the life and acts of our Lord Jesus Christ, all the ordering of his salvation in the Old and the New Testament, as well as the creation itself by him of the visible and invisible world, and not only the events of his own all-saving most wonderful life, but also those from the life of his most pure mother, who for gloriously served, who so gloriously served to the mystery of the incarnation of the Son of God, from the life of his forerunner and the lives of the apostles, prophets, hierarchs, martyrs, venerable fathers, disinterested, righteous persons, and all of the saints who pleased to and serve God in every way. Of these innumerable witnesses of the Lord and of the truth and saving properties of his divine religion and all his divine teaching, who have inherited the life everlasting in accordance with his promise, this is useful and necessary for the strengthening of our faith, hope, and love, for the spiritual education of all Christian mankind, for constantly teaching them the dogmas of faith and various virtues, such as faithfulness, courage, patience, meekness, kindness, humility, disinterestedness, abstinence, purity, chastity, and other virtues, for the lives of the Lord and of his most pure mother, as well as those of the saints, present examples of all virtues by fulfilling which a man can become well-pleasing it to God and save his own soul and the souls of his brethren. The science and sciences is to conquer the sin dwelling in us, or the passions acting in us. For instance, it is great wisdom not to be angry with anyone, nor at anything, not to think evil of anyone, not even if someone has done us harm, but to excuse him in every way. It is wisdom to despise gain, luxuries, but to love disinterestedness and simplicity of food and drink, combined with a constant moderation, it is wisdom not to flatter anyone, but to speak the truth fearlessly to everybody. It is wisdom not to be charmed by the beauty of person, but to respect and awe, whether they be handsome or ugly, the beauty of the image of God, which is equally in all. It is wisdom to love your enemies and not to take vengeance upon them, either by word, thought, or deed. It is wisdom not to amass wealth for ourselves, but to give it to the poor, in order to gain for ourselves a treasure in the heavens that faileth not. St. Luke, chapter 12:33. Alas, we have studied nearly all the sciences, but have not learned the science of avoiding sins, and often show ourselves entirely ignorant in this science. And thus it follows that the truly wise, the truly learned, were the holy true disciples of the true teacher Christ, whilst all of us, so-called learned men, are ignorant. And the more learned we are, the worse is our ignorance, because we do not know and do not do the one thing needful, but only serve ourselves, love of fame, sensuality, and covetousness. How indifferent a priest should be to earthly things, in order that when celebrating such services, such high and most heavenly sacraments, he may not be ensnared by the enemy, but may always burn with pure love for God and his fellow men, who are lost through sin and are saved by the grace of Christ in the Holy Ghost. But how greatly we are wont to sin, how strong are our earthly attachments. Even when celebrating the sacraments, we sometimes, through being accustomed to them, do not completely lay aside the worldly cares and attachments, and therefore the enemy disturbs, darkens, and perverts the mind, binds the heart, and takes us prisoners, and deservedly. Do not dream a priest should be an angel, by the elevation of his thoughts, by the purity of his soul and body, and by the ardor of his love for God, the Creator of all things, and the Savior, and for men, his brethren. To love God with all your heart means to love with all your soul meekness, humility, purity and chastity, wisdom, truth, mercy, obedience, for the sake of God, and never to act contrary to these virtues. That is, not to become proud, irritated, angry against anyone, not to commit adultery even in the heart, not to violate chastity either by look, thought, or gesture, to avoid every inconsiderate, needless word and deed, to shun every iniquity, to hate avarice and covetousness, to flee from self-will and disobedience. The passions spur us on like cruel drivers, daily urging us through our love for earthly things to act in a position to the Lord and to our own true welfare, and to do that which is pleasing to the flatterer, Satan. I thank thee, my joy, Lord of glory, for having taken my image through the incarnation of the most pure Virgin, and for having thus honored, raised, and made mankind godly. I thank thee for raising me from corruption into incorruption, for cleansing my impurities, for healing my infirmities and sicknesses, for turning my sorrow into joy, and straitness of sin into the wideness of thy justification. For through faith and heartfelt penitence, thou drivest away the darkness of the passions, and bestowest thy spiritual light. Thou takest away disturbance, and sendest down peace from above, thou takest away faint-heartedness, and bestowest courage and daring. Glory to thy mercy. I gaze upon the icons in the temple, upon thy holy icon, my Lord, upon that of thy most pure mother, those of the holy angels and archangels, and upon the faces of the saints adorned, resplendent with gold and silver, and think to myself how thou hast honored and adorned our nature, creator and provider of all. Thy saints shine with thy light, they are sanctified by thy grace, have conquered sin and washed away the sinful impurities of body and spirit. They are glorious with thy glory, they are incorruptible through thine incorruptibility. Glory to thee for having so honored, enlightened, and raised our nature. Here are thine apostles and hierarchs, living images of thee, the highest, who pass through the heavens. Enjoy of the Father, hierarchs, and envoy of the Father, hierarchs, and the chief of the shepherds, thy goodness, thy wisdom, thy might, spiritual beauty, power, and holiness shine in them. Here are thy martyrs who by thy strength overcome terrible temptations and endured fearful tortures. They have washed the garments of their soul white in thy blood. Here are the venerable ones who by fasting, vigilance, and prayer obtain thy wonderful gifts, the gift of healing and discernment. Thy might strengthened them to stand above sin and all the snares of the devil. Thy likeness shines forth in them like the sun. In the temple, it is arrangements and parts in the icons of the divine service with the reading of the Holy Scriptures, the singing and the rites of the entire Old Testament, New Testament, and church history. The whole divine ordering of the salvation of mankind is emblematically traced as upon a chart in figures and in general outlines. Grant is the spectacle and the divine service of our Orthodox Church for those who understand it, who penetrate into its essence, its spirit, its signification, and its sense.